guys, welcome to episode 153 of Inside Cage. I'm Scott, and with me, as always, is Mark. How are you, mate?
I'm good, my man. How's yourself?
Aye. Good, mate. Good. Good.
Good weekend. Good.
To say, to be honest, just living the dream.
Living the dream. Aye. Living your best life is all you can do.
Correct, mate. Correct. Life's good, so can't grumble. Disappointed there was no UFC at the weekend, but
I felt a bit naked.
It was weird because, like, I've not really been that. As I say, we talked about last week. Obviously, being back after a few weeks, and the few weeks before that, I wasn't really that bothered. There was a lot of it I didn't see, but then when you get into it and you start watching it again, you get a taste for it, and then your second weekend after getting the buzz back, there's none. You're kind of like, that sucks.
And I was hoping the void was going to be filled with some boxing as well, and that didn't fucking happen either. That's a totally.
Yeah, I still don't understand. Well, I do. I think I do understand now. But like, see when you like read a story and then you read something else, and I was so confused as to what happened. It seemed like there was the first thing I read was announcement due shortly, lawyers involved. I was like, right, what the hell happened? And then I googled it, couldn't find anything as to say what had happened. And I was so confused. I was like, right, hold on, why is the lawyers involved? What is going on? And then like, I think it was the next day, I seen that was it Ben had like dodged a test or failed a test or something.
He done a sample on the end of September or start of August or end of August or something like that, and it basically failed a test with a USADA. The other one, whatever the other drug agency is, the kind of world one, VADA.
Aye.
Failed a test with VADA, and then apparently done a test with a British version of VADA, whatever that's called.
Aye.
And basically, I think passed that, but he was negative on that. But it was just all a bit weird because basically, I think the British Boxing Control basically refused to sanction the fight after they failed the first test. But they were basically all trying to get the fight on. Basically, I think they can you can technically go through another boxing commission in a different country to get the fight on. I think basically when Eddie Hearn turned around and went, well, I'm not using a different boxing commission, everybody kind of knew at that point the fight was going to be fucking called off. So,
who was he representing? You bank?
Ben. No, I'm sure Hearn's Ben, I'm sure.
Right.
Could be wrong there, but I thought he was Ben.
Yeah, I mean, I know it was a pretty big fight. I know everybody's, like, I'm not stupid. I don't particularly get into it, but I do listen and I do watch stuff and I do hear stuff. And I know these two guys have been, like, almost, like, destined to fight, like, forever because the old boys had their amazing fights. So these guys were destined to fight.
Chris Eubank and Nigel Baird fought back in the 90s, had two fights. One was a draw and one was Chris Eubank won. So Nigel Benn had never beaten Chris Eubank. So Conor was obviously looking for a bit of retribution for his old man.
I don't think Conor would have got near him.
I think, Chris Jr.'s a wee bit bigger. He's a bit fucking 2 stone bigger, man. He's fucking massive. The fact the fight was on in the first place was a bit of titles. So. Mm-hmm. But anyway, this isn't boxing. We don't do boxing. Jesse's sport.
I'm not averse to it, mate. It's combat. I've never been a massive fan for some strange reason. It's weird. You'd think if you were a combat sports fan, like I'm a massive MMA fan, that I would like boxing, but I've just never really have been into it. It's weird. I don't know.
I get sick and tired of the politics with boxing. That's what does matter. So that's a good thing about the UFC. You always see the best fight and the best. You always get the fights you want to see.
Not always.
9 times out of 10, you get the champion. Yeah. You know the champion's the champion, whereas in boxing, you get about fucking 16 world titles at one fucking weight class. So,
I understand that. I get what you mean there. Like, you always see the champion, like, he's the best, normally the best guy in a division. Well, as the best guy in a division, you know, I get that. I just meant my kind of comment there was more like people ducking other people because they don't want to fight them and things like that. Sometimes you don't see the best fighting the best, but.
It happens really, but in MMA, because the other thing with MMA is that a losing record means fuck all, whereas in boxing, if you've got a loss in your record, you're fucking...
I think if it's one discipline, I think I would expect losses to count for more, because you're learning one discipline. Okay, you have to be elite at that discipline, but mixed martial arts, I think if you're well-rounded and you've got a couple of losses... You know, you're going to fare, but if you've got a record of 20-2, but you're pretty well-rounded, you're going to do all right.
My argument to that is that you've picked the easy fights to get to a certain point.
For what?
you've picked easy fights. Like a certain Russian MMA fighter who's now retired had an easy record to a certain point.
Yes, he had 13 he had before he signed the UFC or something.
Something 13, for that.
And it was kind of padded.
And that's that, pad. That, in boxing, that's even more extreme a lot of the time.
Yeah. Then again, the thing is with Khabib and his record, you don't know that for sure. There's definitely an assumption. I mean, if you were to go back and try and watch your fights, you'd probably see it. But like, you don't know that for sure, mate. You don't know what level it was at. It was obviously Russian levels, local level, but you don't know how good Khabib was back then. Do you know what I mean? You get better as you go. So
I think Khabib's record, but it was always about looking at the losing records of the guys he's fought, and I think basically it was something stupid. Like he'd fought 13 guys, and I think probably lucky if it was 13 wins between them or something stupid like that.
I don't know if it was as bad as that. No, I've seen worse, though, but I get your point. I agree with you, though. I don't think like losses don't count for much in MMA because the margins are so small. You're not going to be elite level. Well, you could be elite level at one discipline, but if you're an elite level grappler and you come up against an elite level boxer like Pereira could take your fucking head off. Do you know what I mean? So whereas in boxing, it's two guys trying to take each other's head off. So there's always an element of you should be better than the other guy. If you're very, very good at it, you should have a record with no losses. But yeah. Nah, fuck the boxing one, the MMA, it's so much more...
Anyway, let's get into this, because we're talking like something never happened on Friday night that was extremely entertaining.
Well, yeah, that's true. So, if you guys don't know, we've got a lot of listeners in the States, we know that. Cage Warriors has branched out into the States in the last year or so people will know the name. But they're European-based, and they had a European show on in Italy on Friday night, Cage Warriors 144, headlined by the band... bantamweight title defense of Dominic Wooding against Michele Martignoni. If you haven't seen it and you've got access to the Fight Pass, watch it. Very good card. Amazing main event. We'll talk about it in a second. But an amazing main event. Cage Warriors debut in Italy, if I remember rightly.
Yeah, the Italian debut. So made it even better. Man. Incredible as well.
The Italians went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 for 0. So all the Italians fight. Well, there was a couple of Italians fighting each other at one fight, but there was eight fights and eight Italians win. If you're going to do it on home soil, that's the way to do it.
To be fair, most of them should have won. There was probably two or three that were really big challenges, but the rest of them were. You know what I mean? They were against fighters, possibly. I'm not saying they were set up for them to beat, but they were a bit easier, shall we say.
Yeah. No, I think there's definitely an element of that. There's definitely an element. But then, sometimes at these local, regional levels, that's the way it is, mate. The cream always rises to the top. You know, sure. You've got some, for example, you've got somebody like Carlo Pedersoli, who a lot of people will know the name because he fought UFC and Bellator. Now, I think Madars Fleminas is a pretty decent fighter at Cage Warriors level, I would say.
Probably
top three, top five in that division in the Cage Warriors. But when you've got somebody as experienced and as top level as Pedersoli, that totally changes the game. And, you know, for somebody like Fleminas, but it's a name that kind of draws people in. I think Pedersoli was always going to win that, right enough. But, it was class, mate. It was absolutely... Didn't see the prelims, to be honest. I actually forgot this was on Friday. I was really looking forward to this. I was looking forward to it on Saturday. Planned my Saturday. We were out early on Saturday, coming back, going to sit. I was going to sit and watch this, and you know, the good lady would have sat and watched whatever she wanted to watch. And then we were out on Friday night, and I'm sitting and I'm going, why am I getting Cage Warriors notifications on my phone? And I was like, yeah, bastard. So I totally messed up.
Well, I forgot about it myself. I think I got a wee notification up my phone, something to do with a result earlier on, and then I went, oh shit, that's the night. I'll go have a wee swat, see what fights I've still got to watch. And I think basically, Wooden was just about to walk out as I turned fucking Fight Pass on. I went, that'll do it for me. I'll sit here for the next 25 minutes.
Yeah. Well, we may as well start there. Dominic Wooden, very unfortunate first name for Dom. It's a very kind of female name, but you know. Defending his belt against Michele Martignoni. His second defence, because he beat Fletcher for the vacant belt in September last year, defended it in December last year. Sorry, won it in September, defended it in December, and then obviously defended it and lost it against Michele. This was a good fight, by the way.
Mate, it was a great fight, to be honest. I thought it was a superb fight. I was trying to think, okay, there's seen some absolute belter title fights in Cage Wars in the past. I think the Houston Dalby was one that was right up there as well and stuff like that. And I thought this was obviously as good as that, because that was fucking sensational. But it was a great, great Cage Warriors fight. In the last few years, there's not been many title fights in Cage Wars as good as that. I thought it was absolutely superb.
There's been some very good fights over the last few years. Like, I mean, you've got anything that Jordan Vucenic is involved in for a start.
He was in a couple of Barnstormers, one, and he was a couple of absolute fucking crackers as well.
Yeah, you know, so there's, I think, was it the one against Sharia, the split decision last year? Even the one against Hughes, I forgot about the one against Hughes. I thought the rematch got cancelled with Hughes, that was right. But the two fights back to back in Hughes and Sharia from Vucenic were like top level. But and this was brilliant, mate. This was, I think a lot of people were maybe surprised by this result, if I'm honest. And I don't think they should have been. But I think, like, because obviously Dom's a champ for a reason. He won it. He defended it. But Martignoni's, you know, a good fighter with a better record.
Mate, there's no doubt about that. I just say, I think everybody thought Wooden would go on and win it, because I think he was pushing. I think if he'd won that fight, possibly the UFC would have been calling. I think that would have been him. So there's no doubt, I think everybody thought. And to be honest, after two rounds, I thought, I'm surprised he never won it inside the second. I thought the second round he was going to get Martignoni out of there, if I'm honest. I really did think it was that close. It was so close. And how Martignoni just kept going, kept pushing on. It was fucking unbelievable for me. The guy has got some amount of heart, and to come back and basically win the last three rounds is basically how he won the belt for me. The first one was tight, but
all three judges scored at least four rounds for Martignoni.
Agreed. I seen that, but for me, I thought the second one was definitely Wooden. I thought the first one was tight.
Yeah.
So that's the way kind of I was looking at it. I'm not sure I thought that. But
I think that's the sign of a really, really intelligent, really good fighter. We always use this, I think we say this every fucking show, good teams find a way to win. It's a bit like if a good fighter, you know, if he's better, he will find a way. And if it meant being a bit kind of taking the beating and being, having a lot of heart and working it, you know, having that kind of, I don't really know what this, the heart, I suppose heart's the word to beat Wooding, because Wooding's no mug. Like, I'm not saying Wooding was always, like, as we just said, a lot of people would have had Wooding winning this fight on paper before it fought. So, you know, and he's the champ for a reason. So I think Wooding winning it wouldn't have been a surprise. I think
Martignoni basically be able to survive if kind of that second round, obviously. I think Wooden was actually a bit fucking knackered towards going into the third and fourth round and stuff like that. I think he really slowed down his pace, and he didn't have the output that he had in that other round. And I think that really affected him, and it showed Martin maybe the wee bit of a game plan and maybe try to get Wooden to punch himself out and knack him down. So maybe, because obviously he had quite a few takedowns in the last few rounds as well, didn't he? So he used that to kind of...
That was another thing that maybe Wooding's style can't really cope with the takedowns. His grappling isn't as good, obviously. Martignoni found that out and kind of punished him for it.
Aye, he did. Mate, he was really good. The last three rounds, I thought he was superb, man. He really came on and really did a number on Wooden in the end for me, and he won it kind of. And I couldn't see Wooden come back. There was a certain point, I think Wooden just looked defeated for me at some point. And I just thought.
Mentally? Yeah.
I was like, he's not coming back to win this. There's no way, man. You know, he's just going to carry on, and go and get a victory, and that'll be that, and he'll be the new Cage Warriors champion, which he went on and done with an emphatic style in the end, really.
It's like the opposite from Martignoni in it, that kind of attitude, because the Wooding's maybe, I think, kind of that tiring and going, fuck, I'm never going to win this, whereas Martignoni after that second round's probably going, nah, fuck it, I'm still going to win this, I'm still going to work hard and do it. It's nuts, man. I think both of them might end up in the UFC. I think Martignoni's got a lot better over the last few fights. I think Wooding's still very good. Another couple of wins and Wooding's knocking on that door. Maybe even one defence for Martignoni, 9-1. Maybe if he goes to 9-1, has a good defence. You know, UFC's rumoured for London again in March. These two guys could be, you know, how hovering about that kind of signing window, where the UFC are here and looking for British-based fighters, or sorry, European-based fighters. So it wouldn't surprise me if either of these guys fight in the UFC. They're both younger than Paddy. So, like, there's time, there's no rush.
There's definitely time for these two guys.
26-year-old, both of them, you know, there's only like 6 months between them, so they're both still loads of time, mate. Great fight, great advert for Cage Warriors, great advert for the weight class as well. I know you're a fan of the smaller weight classes, so you must have loved this.
You get a bit of speed, mate, you get a bit of power, and I think 135 is very, very good for getting your power and your speed all together. You want 25ers, you can sometimes get that wee buzz button thing, but maybe they don't quite get a power. That's because I get a Figueredo, and especially Kai Kara France can carry that power really, really well, whereas a lot of 125ers don't. Yeah. So 135, just adding that £10, you still get that very small, wee, quick, fast guy, but they seem to add a wee bit of power, and you can get some absolute cracking knockouts with that. So I think 135 is a very, very good weight class for that type of thing. And it was a cracking fight, mate. It's interesting to see possibly an Italian who will fight next in his next title defence, or his first title defence, later on in the card.
Who? Hazan?
Kevin Hazan.
Yeah. We'll talk about him in a minute. Let's just talk about Carlo. I mentioned Carlo Pedersoli earlier. I don't think this was a massive shock, right? As I like Fleming ass, I think he's good for the level. He's a good 170er, you know, he's a good fighter at this level.
He's
like
a good Cage Warriors fighter, exactly what he is.
He's a good fighter for this level, mate. He is. Pedersoli's probably just a level above. Pedersoli maybe, I don't know, Pedersoli's the kind of guy that would hold that welterweight belt for a while and then re-sign with UFC. A bit like what Dalby did and what Burnell did. You know, Burnell came back, won the belt, fucked off. Dalby did the same. Pedersoli will fight for that belt. I reckon he'll fight for that belt next. I know people will say, oh, it's only one fight, it's no fair, but he's a name. You put Pedersoli in against what's his name again? McKee. Reese McKee versus Carlo Pedersoli. I'm sold on that, by the way. I'm well up for that. That's a brilliant fight.
I think the only reason Carlo Pedersoli probably signed for Cage Warriors to get that opportunity at the belt and look at possibly at least put himself in the shop window, well or not, I was back to UFC or possibly even just looking at Bellator or PFL, something along the lines, just to get him in that shop window again.
Yeah, I mean, he was with both, you know, he fought, well, I mean, he probably get called up to Bellator last minute. It was in Europe, I presume it was probably October 2020, I can't remember where it was, but it was in Europe, it was part of the Euro series. Lost a couple of fights, but he had three fights in UFC, won one and lost two. So it wasn't the worst record. I've seen a hell of a lot worse. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
So I reckon you're right. He's probably thinking a couple of years here, I might be 30, 31, still in his prime, a couple of years, he could fight in UFC for another couple of years after that if he wanted to. I was surprised by, like, I don't know how to explain this without sounding like a bit of a dick, right? But, like, I'm all for passion, I'm all for celebrating and all that stuff, right? I was surprised how much this seemed to mean to him. Do you get what I mean? No offence, I know he was at home, I know it was his home country, I understand that, but it's the level I'm kind of thinking, I'm like, you've won in Cage Warriors, it's a relatively nothing fight, really, if you think about it, there's no title, there's no one contendership or anything like that. It just seemed, not that there's anything wrong with it, but I'm not saying it's a bad thing, I'm just saying I was shocked by his reaction. His reaction seemed like very, very extreme, like jumping the fence and jumping into the crowd and all that. I was like, mate, like, calm down a bit.
The only thing I can think, I don't know much about the other kind of promotions he's fought on before he went into the UFC, things like RXF and Magnum and Venator. I don't know if MMA are based in Italy. Could this literally be one of the first fights he's had in Italy as a professional?
Venator is, because Venator had an event at the weekend, and do you remember Stefano Paterno?
Yes.
He was defending his belt against some guy called Hangs. I don't actually know if he won, to be honest. I probably should look.
He did win. I just have you quite like that.
There you go. So that's Italian based, as far as I know. Venator's Italian based. I love the passion. I love the fact that he did say about that. I just thought it was a wee bit like weird for the level. But listen, Carlo Pedersoli could win that belt off McKee. Don't know how that would go, that fight, because McKee's a very good level as well. McKee's probably good for the Cage Warriors level. So it'd be an interesting fight. Maybe he won't fight for it next. I just can't think off the top of my head at 170 who else, you know, could fight at that. But
Yeah, I was trying to rethink that myself, and I couldn't really think him straight off the top of my head to be able to fight for the 170 belt. So, but as I said, I think Pedersol is definitely somebody, a bit like Dalby previously, been brought back for the UFC to fight for the belt to possibly give him a push.
Is one of the Hardwick brothers not 170?
Well, George is obviously the lightweight champion, but I don't know, can't remember his other brother's name. It's...
I'm sure one of them, or was one of them 145 and one of them 155? Harry Hardwick.
Harry.
I knew they were a class apart. I wasn't sure which way it was, so he's lighter, so that's fine. So I know him.
This is why we need a wee Cage Warriors rankings in the go, by the way, to try and remember.
We'll make one.
I remember I was going to do that years ago and never quite got into it.
I don't know if there probably is one somewhere, to be honest. They used to have things like that on Topology, but I don't see it anymore.
No, I don't see anything, mate. Don't know. Maybe we look at about, maybe see if we can see something, but there'll probably be a couple of guys getting about who'll be wanting to put their name down as well. But as I said, I think Carlo was definitely there. He'll be the main manager. I mean, he'll be the one that's pushing for it.
Yeah. What about Dylan Hazan then?
He was fucking absolutely wild for the first minute and a half, wasn't he, man? He was literally trying to throw punches that hard, he was falling over. It was like, what if my guy pissed coming out of the pub?
See, he was fighting, so he's fought at 125 and 135.
Yes, I noticed that, because this was something I was going to bring up in a minute once we started another conversation.
So he's small. So I think he wanted to just, I don't know, I kind of got the impression that he was going to, just a wee bit, just to, because, I mean, DeFlippus or DeFillipus, right, he's a big boy.
He looks huge, isn't he? He was so wide enough and stuff like that, and he looks a decent size for that weight class.
He's an inch smaller, so it was deceiving. I think you're right, Dylan Hazan, basically trying to get his head off. I guess, I wonder if it's one of these things for these fighters, mate. Like, Dylan Hazan's fought in Cage Warriors for, I mean, how long? When was the last time he fought? So last time he didn't fight for him was 2021, Razor De Conti. So these guys, he hasn't fought, you know, at home since May last year. He hasn't probably been home, so maybe in front of a home crowd, he's just been like, ah, fucking, I want to go take this guy.
He's wild.
Aye. I mean... What do you think of the stoppage on that?
I thought it was right, because I think the guy shot himself.
Aye, I know, it was a wee bit quick.
I did look a bit pathetic, but at the same time, I don't think Mark Goddard was a ref for that one as well. And if he says it's a stoppage, he's not a man to argue with, I don't think.
Yeah, true.
There's not him to argue with any referee, he would not be one I'd be arguing with.
So we briefly mentioned it earlier on, right? So obviously... Let's say Woodin passes on the rematch, right? Or for some reason Woodin gets signed by UFC or Bellator. Surely the fight to make it 135 is Dylan Hazan versus Michele Martinoni.
Well, I suppose I don't know. I wonder if there's a bit of Italian pride down there. We'll make sure the two of us don't. Maybe take, because I think it looks like they're both fighting at the same gym as well.
Right.
So. With Hazan having previously fought in Cage Warriors at 125, could we look at possibly making...
Creasy?
I don't think Creasy's got anything set up at this moment in time. Whether or not that's actually the fight to make instead. Because I wonder if maybe Martinoni and Hazan kind of just go, all right, fuck it, we'll not fight each other, but in Cage Warriors, well, if it's Hazan versus Creasy. Martinoni will fight somebody else win 135ers. I was trying to think of one the other day, but I couldn't think of them straight off the bat.
So you've got at 135, you've got Luke Shanks, Jack Cartwright, although Jack's now away, isn't he? He's away. Is he Bellator or UFC, Jack Cartwright? He lost on the Contender Series 2 months ago.
So he did, aye, that's what it was.
But I'd imagine he might still fight UFC. Luke Shanks is still, Cage Warriors. Luke Shanks is still. Cage Warriors, you've got Fareed Bashar up, but I feel as if I know that name. Is he not UFC? He contender series as well. It's hard because the rankings. See, I've got rankings, right? But they're basically they're UK and Ireland, so it's anybody based here, so it's hard. Do you know what I mean?
Nah, you can't really tell.
You've got.
I suppose you've got guys like Adam Wilson and what's the Scottish boy's name again? He's fighting him next month.
Scott Malone.
Nah, Rhys McGowan.
Oh, Rhys McGowan, yeah.
He's 5-1 now. Do you know what I mean? He's pushing on. That's a decent wee record. He's got about 1-3-5 and stuff like that, so that could be the setup for Martino. I don't know. I think him and Wilson are fighting the end of the year, I think. So there's other guys out there for Martignoni. If you don't want to make, or they don't want to make the Hazan versus Martignoni fight, you've definitely got you've got other options there for me.
Yeah. There's a few fights at 135 on that card at the 4th of November. You've got Callum Loughran versus Luke Shank. Loughran's not a bad shout if he beats Shanks. You've got Cameron Else versus Nathan Fletcher. Fletcher, we know, has fought for that belt. So
yeah.
If Fletcher beats Else, he's got a chance. There's also the co-main events, two guys I've never heard of, Festus Ahorlu and Faisal Malik, who are two bantams that could fight for it. So there's definitely guys there that could, you know, could be ahead of Dylan Hazan, but listen, I think the 135s are looking quite good at Cage Warriors, mate, if I'm honest.
Yeah, it looks decent, mate. Cage Warriors is looking very, very good at this moment in time, to be honest. There's quite a lot of decent champions out there. I've always wanted Cage Warriors to have, you always want Cage Warriors to bring these, be that feeder league for the UFC. It's so good, but at the same time, they've got to have that backup of fighters to make the competition really, really good. You're talking about Fleming, I said earlier on. He's probably a decent level, top 5, top 10 guy in Cage Warriors to see where the next guy's taking that step towards a title. Do you know what I mean? You've got to have that kind of depth within each division, and I think they're starting to get a wee bit of depth in each division as well now.
Do you fancy doing Manchester?
When's that? 12th of November. Maybe.
In and out, just stay sober, split the driving if we're knackered. I don't mind driving, just hammer it down, park the motor, go to it, drive back up the road. I know it'd be a late finish, you know, you'd probably be in the house about, I don't know, 2 or 3 in the morning, but
see Scott's on it, mate, so it might be worth that.
That's what I was thinking. I was just looking at it. You get Bungard, Reese and Paul McBain, which is insane. Mate, the card's amazing. Like, look who you would get to see. You'd get a middleweight championship, you get interim welterweight championship, get to see one of the Figlak brothers. No, I think it'd be fucking class, man. Everyone's Dean Truman. There's some names on this, by the way.
Yeah, it's looking good, my man. We'll have a wee discussion about that one off air and have a look. See if we can do an editor.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's all about money, isn't it? So if we can save, if it's going to cost us, I don't know what it cost to Manchester and back in fuel, what, 60 quid, 70 quid?
And your motor knows, aye, because your motor's quite good on petrol anyway, I feel, isn't it? So.
I get like 50 odd to the gallon if I stick my cruise control on, mate, so.
Worth a look, my man, worth a look.
Anyway, we'll talk about that off here, right? Anything else on Cage Warriors? Because we've actually pure rattled on there. Anything else on Cage Warriors? There was a couple of
There was some session of finishes. Favero with that Americana was fucking unbelievable. It was done man. And
the panic in Sue's face when it got locked in, man.
Oh, she shat herself. Just fucking shat the bed. Just went, stop, fucking get me out of here.
Absolutely shat the bed. Name one, wouldn't you, man?
I know. But no, look, fair play to Italians, man. They've pulled out a bag. As you said, 8-0 on the night. There can't be many better nights than any MMA's promotions had in one country kind of type thing. I know London was good for the UFC. There's quite a lot of wins on that. I think there was only one Brit get beat. But this was sensational, man. What a debut to make in Rome for the Italians. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, it's another company. So they come to Glasgow to better Cage Warriors. Getting a bit pissed off that they've not been yet.
I think we need a champion, don't we? That's our problem. I know we're Ross, but Ross obviously disappeared quite quickly as well. So
vanished. All right, let's move on a little bit. Let's look ahead and pick bits out of this weekend's card. So this weekend you've got UFC Fight Night Grasso versus Araujo, headlined by the flyweight bout between Alexa Grasso and Vivian Araujo. Love the fight. You know, the styles are great. It's going to be a brilliant fight. Not sure it should be headlining a Fight Night event, if I'm honest, but I think the fight's class, to be honest. I think it'll be brilliant.
Yeah, I think it'll be a really, really good fight as well, mate, to be honest. As you say, I don't think it's probably worth a headliner. I think Kanania Strickland's obviously the... There's a headliner previous and has been bumped up because that get that pulled because Strickland had a finger infection. I thought he was pushed by a man. I thought you could just fucking fight on.
Yeah.
But as you say, mate, it's a great fight at 125. Well, I think obviously Araujo beat Andrea Lee last time out. Lee was on a good run as well, man. Lee was doing really well, so that was a good victory. Grasso obviously beat fucking Jojo as well back in March, so
bitch.
I don't know. So again, another good victory. Obviously, this fight was supposed to be back in August, actually, start of August, wasn't it?
Yeah.
This has been really...
I mean, look at who she's lost to in the UFC, Araujo, Caitlin Chookagian, who is the luckiest fighter in the history of the world, and Jessica Eye, who fought for the title. So, like, she's got good credentials. De La Rosa put to the side, Modafferi put to the side, Andrea Lee. If she beats Grasso, mate, she's given herself the platform to be, you know, a legitimate contender at that weight class.
No, definitely, innit? Because, let's be honest, we're always looking for contenders at the flyweight division. Sheva just keeps fucking swatting them out of the way, so we definitely need them, as many as possible. But as you say, she... Both girls put themselves into a shout.
Because just looking at Grasso's record, Grasso's record's just as good, man. Like, she's only been beat by Esparza in the last 2-3 years.
Who's now the champion at 115.
Correct. So,
Tatiana Suarez, who was an absolute monster before she got picked up that injury, and we don't know what she's like now, so...
So this is at 125, so Grasso fight. Oh, Grasso did step up, didn't she?
Grasso stepped up, I think. Was it before the Jojo fight? Was it one before Jojo? She fought Macy. I think Macy was her first, wasn't it?
No, it was one before.
Kim was her first, sorry.
Yeah.
So, no, mate, it's my cracking fight. It's maybe not... I think this is definitely their own word, considering there's two lasses on the card. It's not a sexy fight. It's not something that stands out straight away, and it doesn't...
No, but...
Shout in your face, you need to watch this.
Understand what you're saying. It's the wrong word in the right context. So I know what you mean. I know what you're saying. There's no like fight on this card that I would say should be okay. Obviously, I know you said Strickland Kanania would have been the headliner. That's fine. But other than this fight, there isn't anything else. So if it has to be a fight on this card, it would have been that one anyway. So I guess it is what it is. There is some good stuff on this card. Askarov Roy Val just fills me full of joy.
It's a belter fight, mate. Again, 125 division is pretty stacked with contenders, and that's another fucking absolute beauty of a fight.
And there's nothing better than watching a fucking 6'1", 185-pound Serbian who's got to mash Jordan Wright into the floor.
Yeah, I feel a bit sorry for Jordan Wright. I know, obviously, Todorovic has lost two, he's back three, his last four. He's only actually won one fight in the UFC. Oh, yeah. Sorry, 1-2 fights in the UFC, but he's still a big scary motherfucker.
His record isn't great, but like to see him do it here, man. This would be good. Definitely in his corner. We love Balkans, you and I, don't we?
We do like big scary fucking Balkans. Does Manyfield fucking finish sucking off his UFC career?
I don't know, Misha's one of these ones, mate. He's not old. He's 35, but if he loses, he's done.
He's won one fight. He's won two fights. For fuck's sake, two fights in the last eight or something.
Yeah.
Not looking great, is it, for a big Misha, you know what I mean? So.
Then Manyfield's a weird one because, like, he lost to Clark, Sam Prue, you know, William Knight. He's not... It's weird, man.
Seems
to have a good couple of wins and then, you know, not. So, strange. I suppose the other weird talking point on this card is Mike Jackson.
Again. I don't know what pictures he's got today now, man. He must have something on him. He's got, like, how it. Obviously, fought Mickey Gall a years ago. Mickey Gall got him out in 45 seconds. Obviously, Mickey Gall at the time was the Wonder Kid. He was a superstar. He's the young superstar that day and stuff like that. And then he fought CM Punk, and then that was an absolute shambles. And he fought Dean Barry, who took him apart for 3.5 minutes until Dean decided he was going to go wild and fucking poked him in the eye. And then that get fucking called off, and then he obviously get the win through that. So he's currently sitting 1-1, getting into a fight. It's mental that he's still just fighting MMA, to be honest. I can only think it's a 3-fight contract, and he's not wanting to take money or whatever like that, and just wants to fight.
Does he have a history in like other sports? Like, who is he? Is he actually an MMA fighter?
I think he was a boxer. He's 37. He must have been a boxer.
I don't know, man. Anyway, weird. I don't know what the issue is, Mike Jackson. After the CM Punk fight, Dana said he would never ever fight the UFC again, and now he's about to fight in his second fight since, so fuck knows.
He's a boxer. He had a 4-0 boxing record before he turned to MMA.
Fucking hell. Peter Rodriguez is going to smash him.
Yeah,
some things to look out for this weekend if you're watching, guys. Tatsuro Taira making his second walk to the octagon. Like him, exciting, 22, young lad, good record. I don't know how padded that is. It was all in Japan. It was all Shuto, except for one VTG. So again, don't know how padded that is. I mean, he fought a guy who had a record of 38-18, which is fucking mental. Got some decent guys as well. So he's good to look at. He beat Carlos Candelario last time out, so keep an eye out for him. The other one that jumped out at me was Piera Rodriguez.
Yeah, shit is how you look at her. She was one that looked to do it for me as well, man. That's a good record, man. Good one in her UFC debut as well. So
yeah, she beat Kay Hansen. Pretty much got Kay Hansen cut. So she's another one to look out for. She's held a belt. She was the LFA strawweight champ until she left it and fought in the contender series. So look out for her. She looks quite exciting. Sam Hughes will be a tough fight because Sam Hughes is a tough nut, tough cookie, man. She's strong and just tough as anything.
I think this will be a fight that'll tell us how good Piera Rodriguez actually is.
Yeah, I will. Granted.
A lot of legends on this card as well, Asunsa and also Cub Swanson as well, so it'll be interesting to see how they do against a couple of younger pups as such. So
Martinez is exciting. He's a good fighter. He's a pretty decent record in the UFC. Fucking hell, he's been in the UFC forever.
He's a young fighter. But he's young, well, is he? He's 28, so he's been in the UFC, as you said, for 7 years or something, 6 years, 4 years, 5 years.
He's fought 10 times in 4 years, that's nuts.
Mental, mate. So, tough fight for Cub.
That'd be a good fight. I see a Sunshall by a legend. Sunshall's record's still class. To have 27 wins out of 36 fights is crazy. I don't care what you are, I don't care who you are, that's nuts. Because in fact, 4 of his losses have been in the last 4 fights, and he's fought Simon Garbrandt, Sandhagen, and Moraes. So you take the 4 of them off, he's got some record.
Victor Henry's had a good few wins in the last couple of winnies. So, tough fight for a Sunshow as well. They're not making it easy for the legends anyway.
No, they're not. Alrighty. Anything else you want to discuss this week? You want to talk about fight announcements, or you want to?
There's a couple, because there's been a couple of big ones, mainly from, well, the Scottish one. Biggest one seems to be Paul Craig versus Johnny Walker. In Brazil, UFC 23. What's that?
It's an interesting fight, that one. I'm not really sure. I think Paul will be too intense for Johnny.
Yeah, I don't have a clue how it's going to go, if I'm honest. I'd probably agree with you, I would imagine. I'm thinking Paul will be too much for him as well. It wouldn't surprise me if there's one that Paul just fucking somehow climbs up on him, fucking falls back and tries to get Johnny in some sort of mad fucking leg choke or something like that. I mean, I can imagine going along their lines, because he's going to have to pressure Johnny, because if he lets Johnny come forward, man, we know what kind of strikes and kicks and stuff like that, Johnny, and the mad shit that he likes to pull off. Paul can't allow him to do that. He's just going to try and have to walk him backwards and try and fucking get hold of him and then somehow try and beat Paul Craig, basically.
Yeah.
And do some sort of mad shit to set himself to win. Obviously disappointing in his last fucking his last fight, man, he was on a good wee run and disappointing the fight against Volkov. Volkan, it really didn't go his way, but hopefully this one should be better this time around. Going back to Brazil as well, I mean, he had a cracking fight in Brazil last time out, you know what I mean? So,
interesting. What else you got?
Where are we? Just a couple of belter fight announcements. Like Jeff Neal versus Rachmaninoff, I think that's a cracker. RDA versus Barberena is a belter as well. Looks like Frankie's booked his last fight as well, retirement fight against Chris Gutierrez at 281.
That's a good fight, baby.
Yeah, it's in New York as well, so it kind of sets it up perfectly for Frankie, really, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, it should be a cracking fight. And probably my favourite lot, really, it was Kevin Holland versus Wonderboy. That's an absolute belter, man. I know, obviously, Kevin Holland retired for all of 3 fucking minutes. But I absolute cracking fight. Probably a good wee fight for Holland. A wee kind of well done for taking that fight against Khamzat last month and stuff like that. Here's a fight that will suit your style a bit better, shall we say? Because Kung Fu versus Karate, my man, this will be fucking interesting.
It will be, mate. Kung Fu, man. Love it.
So I'm looking forward to that, man. It should be good.
Alrighty. Happy?
Delighted. Oh, just one more. We're going to Perth in Australia. Sadly, it's not Perth, Scotland for UFC 284.
Oh, aye, because they're going to bring UFC 284 to Perth in Scotland.
McDermott Park, mate, it'll do the job.
That's not even big enough.
The Home of the Saints, 10,000, that's what they can get in there.
Oh, it's no Home of the Saints, they're not called that. Fuck off.
All right, it's fucking touchy there, aren't you?
Aye, well, so I should
What would you call them?
The Sainties, aren't they?
I don't know. Anyway, I'm not going to Perth, Scotland anytime soon.
That's true. All right. Thank you, as always, guys, for listening. We do appreciate the love. Get us on the socials, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at InsideCageMMA. Give us a like, follow, share, whatever, message, send us abuse, kill, whatever you want to do. Suits me.
I'm not shite. Well, that's just one thing. I think we're shite. Tell us we're shite. Do you know what I mean? It's no harm on it.
I've never really had much feedback to tell us whether we're good or not, to be brutally honest. So it'd be nice to know if somebody if this is any good after 4.5 or 4 years. So yeah, listen, thank you as always. We do appreciate it very much. Have a good week and we'll catch you next time.